Yeah, you ready? Let's do it.
God, that was an almost vicious start. Technical difficulties, and dishwashers that sound like toilets. Everything was gone.
Yeah, are we going to have any more appearances by any other kitchen appliances? Or
We'll soon find out. You've seen nearly half of the kitchen anyway. So welcome to the Final Play podcast. This one we're doing tonight is just sort of going on from what we were firstly talking about, all the changes in free agency with the NBA. So essentially it's part two of our NBA talk. Which we wanted to center around a few things. I mean, there's no real sort of order, but we're, talk about how the schedule will go and, what's going to happen, in certain sort of areas, key dates, new coaches, and then, we'll just sort of go through it all. That's just to explain a bit more what's going on with the NBA season, which it's starting very soon. What is it, like 10 days? 12 days.
It's like 12 days.
Just that the free agency.
It's the shortest off season in history, and teams that made it deep into the playoffs are essentially only getting 6 to 7 weeks off. Obviously no summer league or anything like that. So I guess this rookie class will, come in a little underdone. There's only 2 preseason games per team, and they start in a couple of days. But it's just part and parcel for what the year 2020 has sort of dished up for everybody.
Yeah, well, hopefully they can start. I mean, obviously this is all tentative. They could probably, if things ease in the US, which, let's be honest, doesn't look like it for now, but if it eases in the US, they might ease some restrictions. I guess probably the biggest thing is just to get the fans back.
I think that'll be sort of not so much a focus, but that'll be the one thing that they will absolutely want to happen, is to have some resemblance of fan support in the arenas. And I guess it's sort of different compared to what the NFL is, because the NFL is all in open arenas. Closed stadiums there, but they're gigantic. So, they can still get away with having, 10, 20, 25% capacity, whereas the NBA, they're closed arenas and are relatively small, compared to what an NFL stadium is like. So to have a large number of people in there is just not going to happen, possibly all this year. The season they're sort of essentially broken up into two parts.
Yeah.
So the first part of the season will be December 22 to March 4. They've done all the scheduling for that so far. The All-Star break is March 5 until March 10, which there is no All-Star game. It was meant to be in Indianapolis this year, but they've moved that now to 2024. That All-Star break is essentially a break for everybody. There is no All-Star game. And then the second half of the season starts on March 11 and goes through to May 16. That scheduling hasn't been done as of this date right now. So I guess as the season progresses, that'll be one of the things that they'll try and get done, is that second half of the season scheduling, and then everybody's favorite BS play-in tournament goes for a couple of days.
Remember this time last year we were talking about load management and how much we're going to use that. We might have to use the word play-in for a lot this year. You do realize that. Who's going to make the play-in?
A phrase and a word that I've hated this whole year. The word is bubble. The phrase is play-in.
To finish it off with the fans, I think it was 3 teams that were so far announced in terms of they can allow a little number of fans.
3 teams essentially 3 teams are sort of confirmed, that they will be allowing fans in. Memphis is going to have about 20-odd% capacity. Utah is having about 1,500 people in their lower section of the stadium. And then Atlanta has confirmed that they want to do fans, but they're not going to do it until Martin Luther King Day, which is like mid-January. So, and they're only opening up about 10%, so that'll probably only be, you know, roughly, you know, that could be anywhere between 1,500 to 2,000 fans there. There's absolutely teams that have said or that are saying no, that they can't. All of the California teams, they're going through a really sort of strict protocol. State government-wise, they've just said, yes, it's zero people, you know, are allowed, you know, well, you know, to a certain extent in enclosed areas. So yeah, that's pretty much shunted all of the California teams at this stage. You know, a couple other teams is Oklahoma City, Denver, and Charlotte in North Carolina have said that they will be opening the season with no fans in their home state, in their home arenas. But I guess that's and a lot of stuff, it's all subject to change.
And essentially, you would think to me it'd be up to the actual, the, you know, the counties, the mayors, like, I guess whoever, the governors possibly in these situations.
It's all on, it's all up to the state governments by the sounds of it. I think when this all hit at the start of the year, it was all up to, I think the US federal government just put those parameters on the state governments and let them make the decisions. So I guess that's still happening over there at the moment. So each state will have their own ideas and suggestions from the U.S. health authority over there. So that's basically what the government, the state governments are doing over there. The health organization, I don't think it's the World Health Organization, but it's the U.S. government and their health experts. Their suggestions, and all of the state governments are taking those suggestions on. They're not set in stone, but the state governments have said, yes, we will do these.
Yeah, hence why the season could just completely, I mean, it could go a lot of ways. It could change. It could shorten. There's a lot of things that could sort of essentially happen.
Yeah, and that's it. Yeah, and like we said, a lot of this is all very subject to change. So I guess you just got to wait and see how the season starts and starts to play off. From what I'm getting is there's going to be a lot of interdivisional games, like more than usual. So there's not a lot of traveling, in a large area.
Yeah.
Most divisional teams are fairly close.
Yeah.
To each other, so that'll be the I guess a step in the direction of them trying to sort of limit the amount of travel.
Yeah, in saying that, I was going through and looking at just sort of, I had down some sort of key games just to look out for, you know, in terms of just, I guess, certain things that what's sort of going to happen during the year. To me, I don't know if you had any down, but I mean, just see, go off what you sort of think from these, but December 23rd is a battle for LA. So, but that's the first time that LA will be up against each other. And obviously, with Montrezl Harrell switching locker rooms, but probably the other way, Ty Lue will be the first time he'll coach against LeBron James.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, we've got a slew of new coaches this year as well. I guess sort of a few more than usual, I'm thinking. So, like I said, you know, she's been a funny old year and a funny old season last year.
Yeah.
We'll go through the coaches in a little bit, but yeah, there'll sort of definitely be a little bit of chippiness involved in that game for sure. A couple of people wearing different uniforms. And that's, I mean, like, you know, as in recent years, well, that's right. You know, the battle in the Staples Center have all been, have all been fairly well received at the moment. You know, simply because the Clippers are actually competitive now.
The a couple other big ones, on Boxing Day, it'll be Kyrie Irving's first return to Boston, December 26th, Brooklyn versus Boston.
He is not going to be received well there at all.
Like, he's lucky they don't have fans. That's the difference.
Well, that's right. Yeah, exactly. Yeah, the Boston Boo Birds would be out for him big time.
Just because they don't have fans inside doesn't mean they're going to have people outside just going off at him. So.
Well, yeah, that's. I think surely the people of Boston have got things better to do on their Christmas Day than to sit outside the TD Garden and boo Kyrie that he won't be able to hear.
No, well, that's right. Obviously, then KD and Kyrie going into LA. So it was Feb 19 against the Lakers and then Feb 22 against the Clippers. I mean, just stood out, obviously, because it'd be the first. I mean, that's not the first game, but just seeing how those two are going to coexist. Literally, because I still, they're friends, doesn't mean they're going to coexist.
No, of course, absolutely not.
No.
The only game for me I thought that was big enough for me to mention was the second year in a row now that the Pels have got a Christmas Day game against the Heat in Miami. So that'll be an interesting sort of you'd hope that they've got these Christmas games now and that they're nice and competitive. Usually the Knicks have always been a stalwart in the Christmas Day fixtures there, but I think they've been shunted this year, so the proud people of New York City can not go and be depressed on Christmas Day and can just go about their own business. Or is there a game in Brooklyn?
I'm not sure. I didn't see if there was a game in Brooklyn, but it's funny how like the NBA can sort of see what's going on. Well, it's possible because I mean they play Boston in December 26th, but it's funny you say that, like exactly what you just said then. Like they changed the Christmas schedule. Or I guess I'm comparing it to a Thanksgiving Day in the NFL. They don't care, like, you know, what people want to watch. They'll just put those stalwart teams in and then just have terrible, terrible games. Whereas Christmas Day, you know, the NBA, it's nearly like their showpiece. It's like up there, not up there with the All-Star, but it's like their showpiece day.
Oh yeah, no, absolutely. That's right. They have. I guess it's always been for not always, but you know, it's been five games for a long time now. You know, the early game is New Orleans at Miami, then it's Golden State at Milwaukee, Brooklyn at Boston, like you mentioned before, the Mavericks at the Lakers, and then the nightcap, or for us, will be the afternoon cap, is the Clippers and the Nuggets. So they're willing to change the NBA.
Exactly,
like
right.
I thought it's a bit funny that they put Brooklyn at Boston. I would have thought that they wanted it the other way around and sort of, you know, they're still trying to cash in on that Brooklyn market at the moment. And if they're going to be, you know, any type of successful this year with the team that they've got.
Yeah, well, I mean, I said Boxing Day in going off sort of our time, but that's, Day schedule, same sort of thing. That's fine. Well, that's, I guess, an easy segue into the coaches. Like you said, I mean, you know, we've mentioned Brooklyn enough, but they're going to have a first-time coach in Mr. Steven Nash. Enough of you seeing that coming, because I didn't. I love the player. I did not expect him to be a head coach. Well, not straight away. Straight into, like, you know, a cooker pressure of a team.
Yeah, I guess there was a few sort of, not so much head scratches, but there was a few their hirings, you know, this year as it comes to some of the coaches. I think he's more going to be along that lines of a player manager rather than that sort of X and I'm sure he's got plenty of ideas on X's and O's, but I think that's the way that they're sort of going. They, whether or not that was an approval, you know, from the GM Sean Marks and the ownership there at Brooklyn to put to those two guys, KD and Kyrie, that hey, this is the direction that we're going in. What do you think about this hiring? Because it's got to be somebody that they are either going to respect and or listen to.
And that's what he is. That's his mold, really. He has the respect. And I think I mean, look, he doesn't need to know the X's and O's, you know, like a Doc Rivers or anyone like that. But he can be that player manager, like you just said, because a lot of these people, you know, like your KDs and your Kyries that are strong heads, know the X's and O's, really, anyway. So, of course, he knows the fundamentals, but, I mean, you know what I mean? Like, he can be that player manager, and, you know, they're two big egos. I mean, let's not beat around the bush.
Oh, no, for sure, and that'll be the thing. It'll be the management of the egos, and like you said, you know, X's and O's wise, like Steve Nash was an amazing, amazing player.
Yeah.
Scorer, three-point shooter, distributor. Like he was an amazing player.
Yeah.
So, but it doesn't always, you know, reign true when you go from an amazing player like that to being an amazing coach. Like always rated and loved Jason Kidd. You know, watched him pretty much his whole career. And it just didn't really work in the two stints that he sort of had in the NBA at Brooklyn, and at Milwaukee. So. And he's one of the most amazing playmakers that the game's ever seen.
Sometimes
it doesn't always transition into being a great coach. So I think, guess that's sort of the skepticism there.
What about Tom Thibodeau getting the New York Knicks job?
I like it.
Hold up. I'll read what it says. What they think of New York Knicks. It's no secret that the New York Knicks are an absolute dumpster fire inside a train wreck, inside a tornado. They could have just stopped a dumpster fire, but no, they went really in.
things are looking good in New York City. Then, by the sounds of that. Look, I think it's going to be a matter of, you know, he's been out of the game for a couple of years now, but he's always been that sort of hard-edged, you know, coach where he sort of rides his players a little bit and, you know, whether or not the sort of the new age player now is a little bit too sensitive for that. But, you know, he's always been in for tough love. So, you know, whether or not the, you know, the how many power forwards they have now, 14, 15 power forwards on the team. So, yeah, it depends. It just depends on how gritty that they want to get. And I don't mind the signing. Thibodeau, he wasn't going to be out of the game for very long, but I think it's a good hiring for the Knicks. I think most of these coaching changes or, you know, new coaching appointments are, most of them are home runs, I think.
I think so. I mean, this is a head scratcher. The next one's a head scratcher for, not so much where he is, but a head scratcher that he shouldn't have got fired, and Billy Donovan going to Chicago Bulls.
That, speaking of head scratches, that's one of them, because he didn't want to be a part of a rebuild in Oklahoma City, a team that very much overachieved last year, and he wants to go to, you know, you talk about teams, you know, teams and organizations that are a bit of a dumpster fire. Like, okay, yeah, the Knicks are a turd fight at the moment, but Chicago's not far off.
No, but maybe I'm just surprised he got fired, really, because they had a really good season, the Thunder.
I think it was a mutual parting. Like, it was like a D'Antoni, you know, sort of thing, what happened in Houston. And funnily enough, two assistants that Steve Nash is going to have in Brooklyn, as far as I know, is Amari Stoudemire and D'Antoni, like two guys that are fueled, do you know what I mean? Like that fueled that 8-second offense in Phoenix in their glory days of, you know, the past 15 years or so.
That'll be interesting, Amari Stoudemire there.
Yeah, that's very right. That's right.
Next one I had down was Stan Van Gundy at your Pelicans.
Look, I thought it was going to be. I wasn't sure who they were really looking at when it come to the hiring of the coach at the Pels. So that'll be it's an interesting hire once again. It's another guy who's a little bit sort of, you know, hard nosed, hard edged.
Been removed from the game for a while. Well, in terms of the pressure cooker of the coaching.
No, that's right. And
yeah,
I do like it because simply on the fact that New Orleans last year were just horrendous defensively, and most times that Stan Van Gundy has come in and has coached teams, whether it's the Orlando Magic, the Miami Heat, even the Pistons, which was his last stop, and it didn't really work because he had the dual, the dual role as being sort of the VP there or the GM as well. So that those roles never work, but their teams are always at least in the top half defensively. And that is something that drastically needed improvement in New Orleans. And I'm very much hoping that that can improve with the roster that they constructed.
Yeah, and look, I think I think he'll do well, for someone like Zion. Because I think, you know, if you look at the way he was at Orlando, this is Stan Van Gundy, how he can coach the big men. I think he'll be fine there.
Well, that's right. Yeah, they've got a front court at the Pels that's not to be messed with. I think we said that in part one. You know, in Zion Williamson and Stephen Adams, you're just not going to.
That's going to be good. They're
gonna,
really good.
They're going to cause a lot of problems. And you know that team that he Stan Van Gundy coached in Orlando made an NBA Finals with the likes of Dwight Howard, Jameer Nelson, Hedo Turkoglu, Rashard Lewis. Like and to say that was Dwight Howard, I guess, sort of at his prime and at his peak, and I guess sort of peak ego, as well. So you know he's got the experience. True. He's got the experience there of dealing with big personalities.
Yeah, that's exactly right. Peak ego. I love that. That's nice. I'm going to keep that one. This is one of the first year coaches, Nate Bjorkman, for the Indiana Pacers. I kind of don't have a clue why they got rid of Nate McMillan personally, but
I have no idea.
Nate Bjorkman was an assistant for Nick Nurse at Toronto, so he's got a lot of work ahead of him. This roster's just I don't know.
No depth.
No depth, and you know you look at and I thought they were going to still do something with him, but their front court. They just don't like playing with each other, Sabonis and Miles Turner.
Whether or not they're just clashing because they're just not a terrific fit with each other. Like that's
I don't know.
That's their thing at the moment.
And then you got Oladipo who's talking about wanting out. It's just it's all. I bet he's got a huge work ahead of him. That's a team that. I don't know if you just, you know, if you get rid of Oladipo and Miles Turner, then why don't you just, you know, build around Sabonis, who's a good player, and then just blow it up and start again?
Well, he'd be a linchpin that you want to try and build everything around then if you're going to do that in Sabonis. So, they had Mr. Streak in TJ Warren, who lit up the Orlando restart in the previous year three games? Totally lit it up. Yeah, three games of just otherworldly results, and then went back to being same old TJ Warren, averaging 11 points a game.
The roster's completely out of whack. I think they probably need to blow it up and start rebuilding. Just sort of, I mean, not to the absolute extent of what the Thunder are doing, but at least get some first rounders or something and just start building again.
Start accumulating, but there's only so many first rounders that you can start handing around by other teams because they're being eaten up by Oklahoma City and New Orleans.
Do you like? I'm assuming he's just got picked up because I guess of name itself. But we'll mention that Doc River was fired, but then Ty Lue was picked up by the Clippers.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know. For me, I'm still sort of out. On Ty Lue as a coach, I don't know. I don't know what he is. Is he a good man manager? A la Steve Nash. You know, is that what he did in Cleveland to for that championship? And you know, he started the season that he got sacked. He started the season off pretty poorly, and they pulled the trigger on him very quickly.
Yeah, that's exactly right. I just I don't know with Lou if you're right. I still think the jury's out on him. But this season literally is for the Clippers championship or bust. So would you want to take a job?
Like a lot of it's like a lot of teams, and both LA teams are in that. But that you know them being you know bitterly disappointed in how they got bounced last year or last season. So that's there's a lot of pressure.
I'm just saying exactly because they're you know compared to the other teams, this has two superstars that are on player options next year. So if they don't like what's happening, they could leave, and then they've got no first round picks. They're completely. They're just, you know, it's
screwed.
It's a huge, yeah. If it's not championship or bust, and then he could be gone in a year. I don't know if I would have taken a job because if he doesn't win a championship, he could be gone. That's literally how. Well, you're right. They'll be screwed. They'll go back to the old Clippers when no one supported them. Well, they still don't. But
oh, they still got plenty of support. But yeah, they were just you know cast out and extremely irrelevant. And I guess the you know the second child of the Staples Center, and eventually they'll be getting their own arena. I think it's going to be out near SoFi Stadium.
Yeah, it is. Inglewood. Yeah, I think it's in the whole same sort of complex area. Yeah.
Yeah, it's they're making that into a big complex now. I think it's gonna, like where the old Greater Western Forum is. That's out in Inglewood too. So, I have no idea why they just can't move into the Forum. Like the Forum is still used to this day for concerts and stuff like that. I have no idea why the Clippers just can't simply move in there. Surely it can't be that beat up of an old stadium.
I don't know, mate. Or maybe he just wants completely brand new. This is Ballmer I'm talking about.
Oh, no,
about.
Of course. Yeah, Steve Ballmer will want he wants everything shiny new. So, you know, and that's the thing. Yeah, he's got himself a shiny new coach now and now it's that's what I mean. There's a lot of pressure to get this team to gel and to get this team to live up to their potential, which, as like you said, it's championship or bust.
Yeah,
Kawhi Leonard was the one that actively went out and said, yes, I want to play with Paul George.
But he could be the one that leaves. I mean, Paul George is rumored to come out and said that he wants to be a Clipper for life. I've never heard anyone say they want to be a Clipper for life, but...
Wow, anyway. I don't think I've ever heard those sentences, those words uttered in the same sentence ever. Clipper for life.
So Doc being gone from the Clippers didn't really last long on the free agency scrap heap.
Oh, my God, what did that last? Three days.
Yeah, free agency scrap heap because exactly what you just said, 3 days later he was picked up by the Philadelphia 76ers, who also, you know, while we're talking about it, also now have a half-decent general manager in Daryl Morey.
That's what we said in part one as well. Like, you know, kudos to Daryl Morey. He gets his players in. He gets the so-called stars. He gets them paid. And then if things don't work, he just ships them off. And somebody out there was silly enough to take on those two gigantic contracts that he signed, CP3 and Russell Westbrook too.
Yeah, what do you think Doc's really going to do with this team? Well, that or Daryl, I don't know. Like, I think
they've made some good moves.
Yes.
You know, like we said, you know, Daryl Morey got off the Al Horford contract, which was a stroke of genius.
Yeah.
So he's doing, I guess he's sort of doing the right things that everybody out there is saying that needed to happen at Philadelphia, and that's sign and acquire 3-point shooters around Ben Simmons and Joel Embiid. Like they're obviously your two linchpins. So that's what he's gone out and done at this point in time. So it'll just be a matter of how everything sort of mashes there, I guess.
I think if he can also, because I still think it's a ridiculously big contract, but if he can get the best out of Tobias Harris, who he did at the Clippers, I think I don't know if they're a piece away, but I think they're not championship or bust, but they have to start pushing for the finals.
They are very close.
Exactly, because look, see, I'm still out. As great and as big as powerful as Joel Embiid is, has he really proven that he is like, you know, the one purely because of all the injury?
Yeah, and that's the only reason. Stay healthy. He'll be one of the most dominant players in the league. And absolutely should be. He plays good with his back to the basket. He's a good face-up player. You know, you have to respect his three-point jump shot, even though it wasn't as, you know, his percentage wasn't as at a high clip as what it's been in previous seasons in this last year. I think the big thing for them is to turn around their win-loss record away from the Wells Fargo Center. Yeah. Like we said, you know, Jekyll and Hyde, how they played last year, you know, they only had like two losses all season in Philadelphia, and then they had like 10 wins out of 30 odd games away from home. So they had a pretty poor road record there. But you know, it's all about, like you said, Tobias Harris. I think he's the key. As much as Embiid and Simmons are the guys, Tobias Harris is the key. If he can lighten the load offensively on those two and get that floor spread, then those two can go to work. You know, they've got the likes of Seth Curry, that can spread the floor. They acquired Danny Green. You know, Tobias Harris is a really good 3-point shooter on a gigantic contract.
Seth Curry.
Looking through their roster, it'll be interesting to see what it looks like after they, you know, sort of have their full roster set. But it'll be a matter of what those guys can do as knockdown shooters to help out Embiid and Simmons in the middle, because if you can't knock down the outside jumper, then those two will clog up the key, and that's not good for anybody.
Couple more. So Stephen Silas, who's been an assistant coach for 4 years in the NBA, has now picked up a head coaching job for Houston Rockets. It's the same as that Nate Bjorken, as in like he's going to just be straight away dealing with drama. You know, yes, Russell Westbrook's been traded for John Wall, but then you still got the James Harden factor. Plus just a mismatch of a roster, and that's sort of, well, it's not Daryl Morey's fault because they wanted to go small ball, but it clearly small ball doesn't work. So it's got to be a little bit of Daryl Morey's fault for listening to James Harden.
Well, and that's the part of it too. You just got to roll with the punches there. Yeah, like you said, it's a very mishmash, type of roster. You know, they've got John Wall coming off basically 2 years out of the game. They've got DeMarcus Cousins there, basically coming off, you know, very little game time in the previous three seasons, really.
Yeah.
They still have, you know, Eric Gordon there, Danwell House, James Harden. Like they traded away Robert Covington, who I thought that was sort of a big key for them last year, but didn't sort of really live up to it. They've got the evergreen PJ Tucker, the signing of Christian Wood. It's just looking up and down on there, and I see. Boy, I hope that's not the sibling or, you know, the fruit of his loins, but I see a Kenyon Martin Jr. That really, really, really makes you feel old at the moment.
Oh, it could be his. Well, obvious that it has to be, purely because it's KJ Martin Jr.
Well, yeah, it could be Junior K Martin, where endeavoring to find out.
But yeah, it's, you know, do they need a center? I mean, that Christian Wood will fill up the power forward gap, and then maybe play PJ Tucker at the center. But I don't know. Oh, yeah. No, yeah. So he, by the way, he is the son of Kenya Martin.
There we go. Your internet works faster than mine.
So he's 19. So, yeah. Yeah. Cool.
Very good. Yeah, it's, yeah, like you said, it's the drama already of you know, yeah, this is current drama at the moment with James Harden.
Yeah.
You know, not sort of showing up in previous days to training camp and practice.
Maskless,
he has shown up. He has shown up now. There's pictures of him on Instagram at a party. I can't remember where. I don't know if it was in Atlanta or somewhere. You know, just
it was
hugging on everybody and no mask and things like that. So just not a great look for him at the moment, and he sort of got a bit of a love-hate relationship, I think, with the fans of the NBA at the moment. You either love him or you hate him. I think a majority of people are, you know, more inclined to sort of go that way. I'm a little bit impartial to what James Harden is. He doesn't particularly play a very attractive brand of basketball, but there's no questioning. His scoring ability, like absolutely no questioning his scoring ability and what D'Antoni has done for him in being the unbelievable scorer that he's been in the past 3 to 4 seasons.
Yeah, I think he's one of the best offensive players in the last 10 years because of that reason, exactly what you just said there.
That's right. He's impossible to stop going to the basket. You know, he's a lefty, but he can finish with the right hand.
Yeah.
It's feast or famine with him. You know, it's either at the cup getting fouled or step back threes.
Yeah, it's just like you said. It's an ugly, because you know it's an ugly brand of basketball because he's the only one that has to touch the ball basically.
No, that's right. Like I said, you know, he dribbles the air out of the ball. You know, now that he's got John Wall there with him, it'll be we'll have to wait and see how those two sort of gel. Realistically, everything, and that's the problem. Everything falls on James Harden's shoulders, unfortunately.
That's the unfortunate problem. But I don't think he'd want to break that. I mean, and like I said, there's rumors.
No, but if he wants to become a legitimate championship contender, he needs help. He has the ball so much that when it comes playoff time, he's totally gassed. I think a lot of people sort of thought that in the restart this year in Orlando, when everything came back, it was fresh. He looked lean.
Yeah.
And they petered out again.
So his career
in the playoffs. So that was always the criticism of James Harden was the brand of basketball that he plays. By the time it comes to the playoffs, the game changes. The game slows down. It gets more methodical. But he's gassed. He just simply cannot carry the team anymore. This is the same thing's going to happen this year if he doesn't get any help. If DeMarcus Cousins doesn't help him out, if he's not healthy, if John Wall doesn't help him out, if Eric Gordon can't, you know, Eric Gordon's been there for a few years now. If he doesn't get any legitimate help, then it all falls on his shoulders again.
I honestly can't wait to see if John Wall can come back to the old John Wall. That'll be very, I don't know, very interesting to see. And look, I think he's in that last year of his contract. He's going to be, but you know, it's like he's in that sort of contract year. So it's just because he was so explosive. Like, you're right, he's probably going to be one or two steps sort of slower, you would think.
Especially to start the season, and then I guess once he sort of works himself up, where he gets the stamina up. Apparently he's been, you know, training the house down, and all those videos on Instagram and Twitter and stuff like that of him working out with a whole heap of different NBA players and stuff. So apparently he's just killing it. So that is obviously going to be nothing like what the NBA season will be like. Yeah. You know, the grind of it. So that will be, I guess everyone will sort of be waiting with bated breath on what is going to happen there with, you know, how John Wall and James Harden, you know, he just goes through superstar backcourt players like they're going out of fashion recently.
The last coach is Mark. I think it's Dagnall or Dag. I think it's Dagnall.
I think it's Dagnall.
Dagnall. He He was coaching their G League side of the Oklahoma City Thunder before being promoted once to Billy Donovan's moved on. Firstly, he's the second young second youngest coach in the NBA at 35. He looks like he's 15. If you ever see a picture of him, he looks 15 in a suit. It's absolutely crazy.
It's funny too. It's funny too. Sort of relax the courtside dress code for this year as well. That you know that usually everyone's in suits and stuff like that. But they
liked it.
I don't mind everybody, you know, sort of, you know, them having sort of, I guess, that sort of dress code for, you know, your coaches and assistants and stuff like that on the sideline. But yeah, they've relaxed that this year. I think I think they like the look of it throughout the restart in Orlando of you know, that's sort of smart casual type look. Hmm. So they've sort of running with that again this year. But yeah, once again, the new coach there at OKC is, boy, he's got his work cut out for him.
He's got his work cut out for him, but I mean, clearly, I don't know his contract, but if he's signed for a few years, I mean, he's fine because he's in a rebuilding mode and he's going to have so many players to sort of look for in the future, which will be great. So that one's not too bad because, you know, purely because of first year coach, there's very low expectation on him and he's in a rebuilding sort of team now that Chris Paul's gone compared to the one that Nate from Indiana, who has a mishmash roster of a couple of superstars.
No, that's right. And I think, like we said, you know, they very much overachieved last year, you know, in sort of making the playoffs and doing what they did last year. And, you know, sort of going through their roster, they are going to be a very, very much a bottom feeder in the West. I don't see them doing anything at all in the West. That they could quite possibly be the worst team in the West.
Oh, I think it's very possible they can. I mean, they got rid of their two, you know, well, not even the two. They slowly started getting rid of their players. Chris Paul's gone, and then Steven Adams is gone. The only one I think they could effectively build around is that that point guard from
Shai Gilgeous-Alexander.
Yeah. Like, effectively, they're going to have to build around him because he's a great young player. So, yeah, they'll be bottom feeders for a little bit, but they're probably going to have a very young...
I seriously can't see them doing a whole lot in the West, you know, in a Western Conference that's super stacked.
They were all sort of the coaches to sort of go through. Was there any other... the coaches are sort of fine with... Other things we wanted to look at touching on, I think, was the do we want to explain how the NBA salary is going to work?
Well, what I've read is the 72-game schedule that's being played this year, obviously down from 82, but the players' salaries have not changed at this point. So they will still be getting the same amount of money throughout their season. And then it goes into all some very, very boring and difficult things to explain when it comes to what they do at the end of the season with player salaries and being held in escrow. And, the players and the owners get a 50-50 split on what they call BRI, basketball-related income. Yeah. So there's not going to be a whole lot of that when it comes to ticket sales, you know, arena, you know, full arenas. So they're going to be losing out on an absolute butt ton of money when it comes to that.
Well,
you would hope the TV numbers would go up because there's not going to be as, you know, the fans in the stands. But, you know, for each home game, that's, you know, that's only up to about 20 odd thousand people. So,
just on that, Woj and Zach Lowe from ESPN basically saying the league's projected to lose 40% of overall revenue this year if games will be played all year without fans. So,
yeah, that's right. From what I've sort of pieced together, it's going to be about $800 million in lost revenue from ticket sales alone.
Yeah.
And also, the thing that hurts about that is sponsorships as well. So, yeah, there's going to be not going to be a whole lot of sponsorships for the arenas and stuff. That's about 400 mil. And supposedly they're going to lose out on merchandising as well. So
I read the same thing.
They're being hit pretty hard in the hip pocket.
Essentially, I was scratching my head about merchandise, but then I thought, well, say we're still in this COVID, and I'm talking the US, say we're still in this COVID issue, they would sell so much merchandise at the actual games that fans can go to, so there's lots of revenue there. Oh, absolutely. Plus,
you've been to NBA games when you've been over there. Yeah. You've been into the stores at the arena. I've been to a few of them as well. If you get there early enough, those shops are packed.
That's what I mean. So between that and then being that it's COVID, if it's all going to come from the US, people might not want to order it because it could take forever to turn up. So, you know, that it sort of came into context. But that's, like you just said, 800 million in gate and 400 million in sponsorship and merchandise. Like, Jesus Christ, that's
what I mean. They're being hit very hard in the hip pocket, and, you know, also with the little bit of a biz that happened in China at the start of the year as well, so that, you know, them sort of being portrayed negatively there, that's a huge market to be losing out on money with in the Chinese market. So I guess we'll sort of leave that where it lies.
Well, they would have had TV rights there, so that would have been exactly right, exactly what you just said there. So
I think that's where a lot of the merchandising comes into it. That's where the losses come from.
Exactly.
The salary cap is still sort of essentially the same. I think it's capped out at like 109 million. So the salary cap hasn't really changed that too much. It's sort of come down a little bit. It'll just be a matter of how much it continues to go down in the coming seasons while they try and sort of recoup some of the money. And they're never going to be able to get a lot of this back, but for them to sort of get back on their feet. And what sort of compromise the players and like they have with this revenue split on what they're going to do in that regard, on how much of a hit they want to take in the salary cap, and with the dropping of the salary cap, that means more and more teams are going to be put into the luxury tax.
Yeah, that's exactly right.
That will definitely hurt some teams. Like, some teams just refuse to go and pay the luxury tax just because, you know, that they might not be as successful and as bigger, you know, brand names as other teams. So and other teams are quite happy to pay the luxury tax. So
you're right. It did come out that there was a with the luxury tax tucked. Oh my God. I'm just going to stop saying, try to say words. A luxury tax this year. You're exactly right. Having it at 109 million means exactly what you just said. Then the highest spending NBA teams, even though they're going to have to, it's going to slide into the luxury tax. They're going to be quite happy to pay it. So whereas the lower teams,
and a lot of generally they're your small market teams that don't go into the luxury tax.
Yeah.
Not all, but that's generally sort of rule of thumb.
Sorry?
That's generally sort of rule of thumb, that your smaller market teams are the ones that don't go in, that don't like to dig into the luxury tax.
Yeah, that's exactly right. So, but it's, your ones like your Brooklyn and your LAs, your Warriors,
the Warriors have got a huge luxury tax bill and a gigantic bill on their new arena at San Francisco they're not going to be able to fill at the moment. They sort of, I'm pretty sure they privately funded that. That wasn't taxpayers, you know, that wasn't government funded or anything like that. That brand new Oracle Arena. Is it Oracle? No, it's not Oracle Arena. It's Chase Arena. That was the old arena, the Oracle. Chase Arena in San Francisco that they moved across the bay in. Is all very much privately funded. So they are in a gigantic financial hole at the moment if they cannot get fans into that building.
Well, like you said,
I'm sure home tickets for that new arena, I bet you they're pricey.
Oh, they would have been. In saying that, did you know, I think you did mention, the BRI, which is basically what they project to lose in terms of percentage? Yeah, yeah. So, could, you know, if you have an example of someone like the Wizards. Oh, I'm having a terrible night. The Warriors, if they take a 30% decrease, essentially that means, even though they're only $16 million over the cap, they're going to have 30% off that, plus they have a $17.2 million trade exception. So, yeah, it's going to benefit, like you just said, those higher-end teams. Because they're basically getting a tax cut, just the uber
rich owners that don't care about the luxury tax.
No, that's right, and they're getting a tax break of this 30% anyway. So, you know, essentially they're just going to probably absorb that and probably pay more player salaries, a la Lakers.
Oh, that's true, and that's it. Yeah, Golden State is sort of, like you said, you know, they're in a bit of a holding pattern at the moment. You know, with the loss of Klay Thompson. They had the number two pick in the draft this year, which I guess is sort of lucky for them. But you know that they're just in a financial spot. You know, they're in a little bit of bother at the moment.
They were the main sort of points, I guess, with this sort of season. Was any other things you wanted to look at touching on? I guess before people get ready for the NBA season.
I guess one thing I thought that was pretty sort of funny and interesting was the situation with the Toronto Raptors and how they've had to move to Tampa.
Yeah.
They've basically been booted out of the country because the Canadians don't want any Americans coming in and infecting them whilst they're in Toronto. It's international, so that, you know, they're well within their rights to sort of turn them away. So that sort of made, you know, the Tampa Bay Raptors, I guess, sort of homeless for the meantime. Yep. So that'll be interesting to wait and see how that works and what happens when restrictions begin to ease in both countries, I guess, well, more so the US, and whether or not, or how long it's going to be before Toronto can actually return home.
But, I mean, if you look at it, it's like a Warriors situation here in Australia with the NRL. I mean, they didn't, if they were going to have to play on, which they had to move, really, essentially.
That's
right. So.
And that's essentially what they're doing. So at this point in time, they're looking like the ones that are going to be making the biggest sacrifice, for this season to get it. To go and for it to be able to be played.
I guess if you look at it on the flip side, but I mean, firstly, there's going to be hardly any fans there, so then they're not disadvantaged there. Secondly, they these teams are used to being traveling all the time. Unlike the NRL, where there's, you know, only so many games, there's like 72 this year, so they're used to traveling all the time. So it's still not the same. Don't get me wrong.
If they make their sort of, you know, residence in Toronto, then they'll all be in unfamiliar beds. You know, that they'll be living out of hotels pretty much the whole year. So
which they will anyway.
They'll be taking up residency in places in Tampa. So I'm not sure how, you know, that's sort of going to work, or whether they're just going to be put up in hotels the whole time. So living out of a suitcase the whole year, you know, from December until May, really. I think that's going to be pretty tough.
Oh, I will. I'm just saying they're always moving around anyway. So, it'll be interesting. I'm just trying to look for what the stadium's actually going to be called. So, are they using that Walt Disney Stadium? No.
In Tampa?
Yeah, no, that's Orlando. No, they're not. There mustn't be. So, yeah, I was just wondering. Oh, and they've already started calling themselves the Tampa. There's shirts out saying Tampa Bay Raptors, and they're calling themselves We the South instead of We the North.
Oh, they've already got the slogan out there of We the South.
That's an awesome shirt. That's so good.
They've already got that out there.
That's so good, We the South. That's awesome. Not ideal, but they really didn't have a choice, unfortunately. Or they could have, well, I don't know how that would have worked. I mean, I wonder if they got the sort of a push and said, you have to move. Or you know?
Oh, I just think the Canadian government had said, sorry, we're not going to be having U.S. citizens into this country without going through the proper protocols.
No, well, that's exactly right. But what I'm saying is they. Yeah, look, no, that's a fair point. Yeah, that's exactly a fair point. But I don't think it's going to deter them that much, I think. I mean, it's. I suppose you're still in your own arena, you have your own equipment. Yeah, there's a lot of factors in play with basketball. So,
It looks like they'll be playing in the same arena that the Tampa Bay Lightning play in. So, I guess that makes sense.
Yeah,
Amalie Arena. I don't know. I'm not sure if I'm even saying that correctly. But yeah, that looks like that's where the Lightning play. So I can only assume that that'll be the easiest transition for them to, and I guess the NHL will sort of have to work around home games with the Raptors as well. Yeah, once the NHL comes back.
Good point. I mean,
that would be a logistical nightmare. That, like, there's a lot of arenas out there that do it. You know, that they have the NHL and the NBA in the same.
Oh, big time.
In the same arena. That would just be, man. That would just be such a logistical nightmare.
And that's why. But it's interesting that that's why they try not to have their games around the same time, really. So that's generally right. So. But you're right. Logistically, I mean, look what happened when all the sports were on. It was logistically, it's going to be ridiculous. Surely they'll have to get together those two sports at the very least.
Oh yeah, no, I'm sure they will. Sport, yeah, I'm sure that's the thing that happens. You know, that's what they said. There's plenty of them that do it. You know, that they just rattle off a few. You know, Chicago, Boston, New York. Do you know what I mean? Like, you know, there's some. Right there, that all use the same, yeah, the Staples Center for the LA Kings.
Yeah,
there's so many arenas there that use the same amount, and they can all break it down within, yeah, you know, they put the basketball floor over the top of the ice hockey rink.
Yeah.
In 24 hours.
Yeah, I know, but just like, you know, you're three teams in that one stadium. Yeah, and logistically, goddamn, that's.
Oh, could you answer me? You imagine the amount of lemmings that they'll have to have in the arena to be able to do all that change the floor out. Then we've got the ice hockey on. Time to rip the floor up. Yep, get the ice hockey rink ready. Tomorrow we've got the Clippers here. Right, I better put the Clippers floor back out. Like, that would just be brutal.
And you've got to have all the branding up and all the team, like all the sponsors.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, exactly. Yeah, they have to all do it that night and overnight, just in case something goes wrong. So
I don't even know how
that would just be.
I don't even know how it works at the stadium too. Like with if it's not going to be proper ice, surely. But I don't even know how that all works. You know, in terms of, I mean, should they just put down slates? I don't know.
No, they have the. I think the base of the floor is the ice hockey rink, and they just build the wooden floor like the NBA arena, like the basketball arena over the top of it.
Far out.
That'd be so weird to play on.
Any other sort of news for NBA before we finish up? Nothing sort of stood out to me in the last sort of week or so, really.
No, not really. Like, you know, we sort of touched on the free agency. You know, we went through all those 2017 rookie extensions in part one. You know, some big cash sort of dished out to those guys. You know, Bam Adebayo, Brandon Ingram was the year before, but, you know, Donovan Mitchell, Jason Tatum, De'Aaron Fox all got their rookie extensions. You know, we went through all the ins, well, not all the ins and outs, but, you know, the big ins and outs of free agency and trades. Look, that's, I mean, this, again, I guess that the debate really for the 82-game season has sort of reared its ugly head again, and now that they're doing a 72-game season, I guess they'll sort of have, even though it's condensed down, you know, it's essentially two, the season is 7 weeks shorter time-wise, but only 10 games less. So that sort of, makes it, it goes into July instead of, you know, the NBA finals are usually played in June, but it'll go into July so they can sort of punch it through before the Olympics start. you know, again, you know, the BS play-in tournament. However they want to think that they can keep doing that, to sort of, I guess, sort of stop teams tanking. There's two things that you're never going to be able to stop in the NBA, and that's tanking and that's load management. You do to the schedule, and what you do to get more teams into this so-called, you know, bogus eight spot.
That
teams have earned the right to be there and not have it unceremoniously stolen from them, you know, like it was Memphis this year.
Yeah, that's exactly right. No, that's exactly right. I've never liked it. I think it's absolutely ridiculous. You're rewarding mediocrity, which I think we've said last year. It's the same. It is. That's essentially what it is.
I'll say it till I'm blue in the face, and I feel like I'm blue in the face right now. But there's already half the league makes the playoffs. Just be better.
Yeah.
If you're a crap team, then why get rewarded? And all of a sudden, you know, you might be able to spring an upset or two. You know, it's two game. You know, the lower seed has got to win two games, and the high seed's only got to win one. I don't care. I don't care.
The Zion rule.
I don't care.
Is it the Zion rule?
I don't.
I think you said it's ridiculous. A couple of other things I'd sort of noticed the last week was the coaches must wear masks in arenas and team facilities at all times.
They're going to be super strict on them, like they are with the NFL.
Yeah, they're same sort of thing with the NFL, where they'll be able to pull it down, and you know, but only as long as only as the necessary time frame. But they're going to have to, exactly what you just said. Then they're going to have to if they don't do it properly, they're going to have to be fined. So
there'll be heavy fines. I don't think they're going to go as extreme as what the NFL has by taking draft picks away from them, because there's only two rounds in the NBA, whereas there's seven in the NFL. But that would be a huge incentive to be able to, you know, to keep yourself, you know, masked up. Is to say, look, even if it's only a second round pick, you say, oh, we'll just take a second round pick off you.
I'd see fines more.
They're worthless picks. Yeah. Like, give me a break. Yeah. Second round picks are worth nothing. But to hit them like that, I don't think fines are really going to do the job. It depends on whether it comes out of the player's pocket or the coach's pocket, or if the owner decides to pay for it. Oh, I'm not sure.
Good point. The other thing I wanted to finish on was, do you – this is all hearsay. You're not obviously going to know, but does James Harden start the season at the Rockets? And if he does he finish the season at the Rockets?
He starts at Houston. Yep. What I've read in the last couple of days and sort of watched on TV – They'll want to be patient in the deal that they do for James Harden if he gets dealt. He sort of opened up now and said that he'd be open to being traded to Philadelphia. Funnily enough, where his boy Daryl Morey is, I don't think that's a coincidence.
I don't think he has many options. I don't think Houston has many options.
No,
like trade partners. I think they really only have two, and that's the 76ers and the Brooklyn Nets. But then if the other ones are going to be involved, as in other teams like a Warriors or that, they're going to have a third team involved. That's the only way I could see it working.
But even the Nets, like, you know, we've said it before, like Brooklyn will have to give away multiple players. Like that means Houston's already stacked roster with 1,000 people on it. Like, that just means they're going to get more. They'll probably get better, but to make it a multiple player deal and maybe throw in some first rounders. Brooklyn's first rounders probably they're going to be like the first rounders that OKC and New Orleans got. They're going to be late first rounders. They're going to be worthless.
It's exactly right. Although, you know, it'd be fun if Jared Allen's and LeVert's and Spencer Dinwiddie's went to Houston, You know, well, with the Christian
they'll all be the ones that I would think Houston will be looking. You'd be looking at you'd be definitely looking at Caris LeVert. Like he did himself, he did himself a lot of favors with the way that he played. You know, in the restart in Orlando, he's always had the good potential, Caris LeVert. So it was good to sort of see him step up. You know, Spencer Dinwiddie's has always been in the conversation the last couple of years for being sixth man of the year. So, you know, so he's sort of stepped his game up since he's gone to Brooklyn away from Detroit. And that's me. Jared Allen is one of the more sort of intriguing young centers that's getting around. So, you know, if he could sort of improve his offensive game, then he could be a very good player.
I don't know what's going to happen, but it depends what happens. I think they have to be patient. You're right. I think it'll depend on him and how he plays and how the season pans out. I don't see him staying there by the end of the season. I really don't.
If Houston you know, wandering around that 7, 8, 9 position in the West, and they're sort of clearly looking frustrated, then they'll have to pull the trigger sooner rather than later.
They will. And the only, I don't see Brooklyn Nets because I don't see those three working at all. Whereas, Joel Embiid and a James Harden and a Tobias Harris, you know, could essentially work pretty well. So, I don't see him staying there, but I don't know where he goes. I just don't see him staying there by the end of the year. It's hard to say because they're not, you know, are they?
It's hard to say, but. Yeah, I think a lot of signs point to how disgruntled he is, you know, with management, ownership, they play throughout this season. I don't know. By the looks of it, at this stage, he's I guess he's sort of pouting a little bit. But you know, I guess once he sort of gets back into the full swing of things, then you know who's. They've been a good regular season team for a long time now, Houston. So whether or not that sort of masks how, I guess that sort of, frustration when it comes to being successful in the playoffs. If they start having a good regular season again, like they have, then it'll be like, oh, okay, everything's cool here. Let's just stay the course.
The thing is with James Harden as they haven't got better in their team, depending on what happens with John Wall.
Absolutely not.
But with someone, you're right, but with someone like James Harden, he could just himself, and this is why it's going to be hard to see what they'll do, just himself can get his team into a 7 and 8 position. That's what, you know, I don't think there's not a lot of players that could do that. I don't even know if LeBron can do it. Maybe, possibly.
Can you imagine eyeball popping numbers that he is going to put up on this team at the moment? Like, it's, man, that's going to be crazy.
Oh, it's going to be, yeah. I just want to see what happens with John Wall, but yeah, I don't know. I think he's at one or two. He has to be one or two steps slower. Has to. But we'll see.
But it depends on whether or not he's changed his game as well. Like, whether he's adapted.
Yeah.
You know, adapted to being a different player.
Yeah, that's exactly right.
Yeah, that's the thing. You know, Harden averaged, what, nearly 35 points or 34 points a game last year. Like, that could go up exponentially this year. He could average throughout this year, he could average 37 or 38 points. Nobody's done that in the league since Jordan.
That's what I mean. Purely, he's one of the best offensive players, you know, like I said, in the last 10 years. Defensively, he's no Jordan defensively. Look,
he's in the lower echelon of defenders. I think he gets a little bit of a bum rap on how sort of poor of a defender he is.
Possibly.
It is what it is. Like, he's... That's the player that he is. Like, it takes too much energy to be able to be great offensively and defensively every single night. To be able to put up 38 points a game. Oh, hang on a minute. There was a guy that used to play for Chicago that used to do that year in, year out. Anyway, my bad. But do you know what I mean? Like, you know, to put up those ridiculous numbers and be an absolute lockdown defender. That's just a combination in player, in a player that just doesn't happen.
There's only one player that's done it, like you just said. That's it. There's only one player that's done it. And I don't think anyone can do it again. So it's funny. You know, we'll finish up. But I went down a YouTube wormhole of like the whole, just because it popped up, like a MJ versus LeBron debate. And my God, I don't want to get into it. But just listening to some of the ESPN pundits, like, yeah, you know, your Skip Bayless wasn't too bad. But, you know, your Sterling Shepherds and that, my God. They ride LeBron much.
Don't sink into that quicksand at all. Just don't do it.
Nothing's deter what I think. And just because LeBron's there, and I love LeBron. He's a great player, but he is not the best player ever. And that's just simple. That's it. He just isn't. Unfortunately. He just isn't. Yeah, that's it.
And I think he's definitely the kind of player these days that would be able to go back and play in the 80s and 90s, absolutely.
That's right.
And I think that would totally enhance his stature as being, you know, as going down as one of the greatest of all time, you know, if not the greatest of all time. But purely on the way that the league is played at the moment and it being sort of a bit of a powder puff league, you know, when it comes to hand checking and fouls and, you know, how the good players used to get hammered by certain teams, it's totally different, and it's too hard to sort of compare across eras. So it's I mean, like, yeah, you'll never change, you know, these, you know, our two minds, I wouldn't think. Who the GOAT is, but
I think it's
so hard to compare across eras. It's hard to do.
You're right. That's the biggest problem that everyone keeps doing. I think just with LeBron, I think he's probably the best athlete I've ever seen because of how he adapts everything and how he keeps his body at his age. I think
it just doesn't get hurt. Like that's the thing.
No, it's just,
his body is indestructible. Yeah. That's what I mean. He's had that groin injury the first year in LA, like it just, his body is essentially indestructible.
The funny thing is, for
a body that's as indestructible as it is, how many times throughout his career has he played all 82 games of the season?
I wouldn't say there would be many at all. You know, this is, if you wanted, we're probably looking at your load management and sort of that thing, but, I don't know. I mean, how many seasons has MJ played? But, you know, he had that very early injury. Was it like second or third year?
It was his second year. He pretty much missed the whole
season.
The whole season. Yeah. So just sort of doing a quick little recap here. The most games that he's played, the last season that he was in Cleveland, he played all 82. And then the most that he played before that was 2008, 2009. He played 81. So every year he's taken at least, you know, two to three games off.
Okay. Which is still ridiculous. But
exactly. You know, he had that. Yeah, it's, I mean, I don't think there was any sort of question, you know, that fourth year on his second coming going back to Cleveland, I don't think he had a choice but to play all 82 games.
No,
otherwise,
that's right.
they were going nowhere. That's sort of an interesting sort of stat to see, and sort of, you know, whether you want to compare it to MJ or not so much him, but just however many players back in the day
seasons.
Used to play all 82 games. Just going on what used to be on the back of basketball cards back in the day, and there always used to be, you know, there was a lot of players that would always play the 82 games.
Yeah, well, that, you're right. I mean, that's exactly right. I just I'm just scaring through Jordan now. I'm assuming you're probably doing the same thing. Oh, then here we go. So he's in 82 games.
He's nine
one,
seasons.
Two, three,
he played
four, five, six, seven, eight, nine. Wow. And that, wow, in his final season, he played 82 games.
That's right, for Washington. That's right.
His final season, the only one.
And played 37 minutes.
He must have had, what happened that 94-95 season? He must have had a bad injury then as well. So
no, that's when he came. No, that's the comeback.
Oh, that was a comeback. Yes, that's yeah. He comeback. Missed half the season and then come back. Yeah, and then look, look, right, then three straight 82 games, which they won. Three straight, obviously. So wow, and then has it's always amazing. I know how good he is, but then he has a couple of years break, and then he comes back and plays for Washington and still does 60-82. Far out, and finishes on 37 points. 37 minutes per game for Washington. Far out. That's absolutely ridiculous.
Yeah, unbelievable.
he is the greatest ever. I don't think there's any question. But depends who you talk to. I mean, it's hard for young fans because young fans will, you know, they didn't see a lot of the MJ. So they've seen a lot of LeBron. So it's hard for.
Realistically, neither did we, because basketball is a little bit sort of harder to come by, you know, late night after Sports Tonight. The NBA finals and stuff used to be on unless you knew a certain Mr. D. Airy that used to have pay TV back in the day, and you used to be able to go into his place and watch the All-Star games and the NBA finals and stuff like that live on pay TV. Mm. But do you know what I mean? Like, a lot of it was through magazines and through the media and stuff like that now, whereas now there's so much broadcast of all the games, you know, League Pass, you know, ESPN, TNT, all of those. There's so much access.
Oh yeah, you're
to
right.
The NBA,
yeah. Which is
nowadays,
great.
You know, social media, everything. There's just you can just get bombarded by it.
Oh, just on any sports. I mean, wrestling, anything. We had nothing to go. You know, cast your mind back over 5 years ago. We had to scour it and try to find the games. Now it's everywhere. Right. It's
now
great.
It's in your face.
So, yeah,
it's everywhere.
All right, well, that'll do it for our part two of our NBA conversation. Don't forget to follow us on all our socials, which will be Twitter at Final Play Pod and Facebook, as always, is Final Play Podcast, where you'll get every single podcast that we've done. I think we're up to 113 now, I believe. And then we'll have NFL again coming up this week. Yeah, don't want to touch on it too much, but that's, what a week of NFL scores and games.
Oh, my God. Like, just...
If you're a betting person, like a multi-bet betting person, there's no way you would have...
Or if you're doing tipping for the NFL. Oh,
yeah. That's another one. Yeah, tipping. Wow.
Killers. Absolute killers. Sure things. Sure bets. Getting crapped on this week. Not very impressed at all. Not that I dabble in the gambling of the NFL at all.
What, are you trying to look for a sponsor right now?
Oh my God, here's something. Give us something. Some sports bet. I need some free bets. These are brutal.
That's what I'm thinking. Give us a $50 line of credit each week, and we'll bet every week, and just to sort of talk about a sports bet. We'll do it every week. $50 each week.
Yeah, man, I've got no problem. We can do like a whole betting pod if they want us to.
All right, I'm going to start tagging Sportsbet and everything and then say, welcome to the Sportsbet Final Play Podcast until they listen. I'm campaigning now. You can also get, except for Sportsbet, you can also get our podcast on gimco.com.au as well as Spotify, Podbean, everywhere you'll be able to get it.
How's the search for the fruit going?
It's nearly there, nearly ready to go. But you can still, if you have an Apple device, you can still get these podcasts. I said by the end of the year, and it will be done by the end of the year. So
time's ticking.
Yeah, time is very ticking. I'm just looking at it now. Well. That'll do it this week. My name's Jason Sportsbet, and I'm just going to keep using that until they sponsor us. Just $50 line. That's not that much. $50 line.
It's not that hard.
We're not keeping the money. We'll spend it. It's fine.
Don't worry about that. It'll go to a very useful cause. I'm Miles TikTok Plum. TikTok.
Victor. What are you, the Rock? Yeah. All right. Have a good week, everyone.